Looks like we got time for a short story. Anyone want to hear a story? It's based on a real story, but it's made up, and you'll probably soon recognize it. And the real story is in all four Gospels, and a long, long time ago, in a little village that was probably kind of dusty and old-looking, there lived a little donkey. And one day he was tied up by his master's house, and some men came along and started untying him. And the master and his friends were outside visiting the master of the donkey. They said, "What are you doing?" And these men that were untying the donkey said, "Our master has need of this animal." They said, "Okay, go ahead." So the donkey was taken outside of the village and kind of unique, maybe a little strange, quiet man came over, and the first few men put their garments over the back of this donkey, and this quiet, gentle man climbed on the back of this donkey that had never been ridden. And strangely enough, even though he had never been ridden before, he had no impulse to kick or to try to throw this strange burden off his back. And it was just a very strange experience for this donkey, and he's thinking, what's going on? But then he started to be led, or started to move in the direction that these men wanted to go. And as he walked along, he was puzzled by what was happening to him. And as they approached another city, the city of Jerusalem, a bunch of people came running to meet them, and they started cheering and clapping and praising God, and they started throwing palm branches on the road in front of the donkey and laying their clothes out for the donkey to walk on. And the donkey was started to think, "Wow, I am a very special being. Look at me. This is amazing that they're treating me like this. I must be like very, very special." And so it continued on, and they went down toward the city at some point, and at some point the man on his back got off. But the donkey was just amazed at how unique and special he was. And the other donkeys that saw what was going on thought he must be pretty unique too. And so they got together and they decided to make him their leader, because he was such a special and unique donkey, and he had done these wonderful things. And his followers actually went around to other parts of donkeyhood and were trying to convince them that this donkey was a special donkey and he deserved to be their leader. Well, it didn't take long till other donkeys started getting jealous, and they decided that their leader was just as important. And so they started other groups of donkeys. And before long, there was arguing and bickering and even fighting. And some of the groups of donkeys set out to kill the other groups, possibly, to try to convince them that their leader was the best and the most important and actually the true leader. Kind of a silly story, isn't it? Well, you know what? This weekend is an important weekend to four groups of people. And those groups that think this weekend is very important is the Muslims, the Jews, the Christians, and the pagans. And these four groups of, well, we'll call them donkeys. I'm tempted to use the term that is used in Matthew and John. It uses a different name that we've kind of butchered, I guess. These four groups have tried quite often in the past to kill the other groups, the other leaders, to prove that they're right. And because of those things, we have terms like crusaders, jihad, Roman emperors, and all kinds of different names that have come to us through history. It's because of groups of people who were fighting because they thought their group was the most important Their leader was the most important. And it's interesting how those four groups of people had this weekend to celebrate their group's celebration. Muslims, for the Muslims, it was Ramadan, and Friday is a vacation day in the week during Ramadan. And for the Jews, it was Passover, and there was quite a scrap that happened at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. For Christians, it's Resurrection Sunday. And for pagans, it's a celebration of the beginning of spring. And the Muslims, they have Muhammad. The Jews, they have Moses. The Christians have Jesus. And the pagans have a mythical made-up being called Estoros or something like that, who's the queen of fertility that supposedly comes back in the form of the sun and brings new life to the world. She gets to be here for 6 months and then she has to go back to the underworld. So this Easter is a celebration of spring and new life. It's interestingly enough that the Christians, I'm using Christians as a broad term here, they're the only group that their leader never commanded them to keep the holiday. But they do anyway. Somehow it's become fun and exciting enough. And somewhere along the line, someone thought it would be a great idea to join the pagans and the Christian celebration together so that both could be happy. But so often, in all of these things, whether it's the donkeys fighting or the two-legged donkeys fighting and scrapping, so often the most important thing gets left out, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. The most important thing gets left out. Now, there's something that happened to me that's one of the sad memories of my childhood. And once you hear this story, you'll think, Melvin, you had such an easy childhood. But one of the benefits of combining the pagan celebration with the Christian celebration is that now, this week, we can get cheap chocolate and jelly beans. There's always a silver lining, you know. Well, when I was quite young, and I don't know why this memory sticks in my mind the way it does. When I was quite young, it's probably been 40 years ago or more, but I still remember it. And one of the benefits of having single aunts is that they often buy treats for their nieces and nephews. And I'm assuming it was one of my aunts, I think it came from my grandparents' house, as they took advantage of some of this cheap chocolate. They bought each one of us one of these nice big chocolate rabbits. And I was so excited. We didn't normally get candy like that at our house. We had lots of desserts and sweet things, and so we had quite a sweet tooth. And I could hardly wait to have some of this chocolate. And when Mom finally said we could have some chocolate, you know how you open that wrapper so carefully and you peel it back and you hold it in your inside the wrapper so you don't get your hands all messy, and it's like, this is a lot of chocolate. I'm going to be eating chocolate for a long time. This is going to be great. And you take that first bite and that thing collapses. It was hollow. I never forgot that. I don't know why I remember it. Maybe for the benefit of telling this story today, I don't know. But I still remember my disappointment at finding out that that thing was just a shell. It was mostly air. They could have at least put peanut butter in there. Whew, yeah, you can wipe your mouth too, but that would have been really good. But it was a shell. And so the promised pleasure was just a very, very thin layer. And the point of telling that story is that so much of life, and when men start to, when people or donkeys start to think that they're important and they have the answer and they are the thing, so often it's built on just a shell of what reality should be. If you look at all of those four groups of people that I just mentioned, there is enough there in what they do in practice that could lead them to Jesus. There is in each one of them. There's plenty there to lead them to Jesus. And but so often it's selfish importance that holds them back. Selfish importance. Who wants to lose their family, their home, their possessions just because you change your belief? You don't want to get rejected. And so often it's selfishness that holds people back from allowing things to guide them to Jesus. There are so many things that God has given us that could guide us to Jesus. And I'll try to whittle this down a little bit. Someone told me recently that Baal, the letters of the god Baal in a certain language actually mean nothingness, so god of nothingness. Baal was a god that promised wealth and possession, position and experience. If you sacrificed to Baal, the promise was that your fields would do exceptionally well, your cattle would reproduce exceptionally well, and you would grow wealthy, and if you're wealthy, you could have lots of wives and lots of children, and you would be known as an important wealthy man. Well, you know the story of what happened to the Israelites over and over again. That direction and that pursuit always led to emptiness, the collapse of their society and emptiness as God sent in pagan invaders to take over their lives. That pursuit of possession, position, and experience always left them empty. It always ended in emptiness. You see how that worked out for the Israelites? You see how that worked out for Napoleon? You see how that worked out for Hitler? You see how that worked out for emperors? They're all dead. They're all dead. How did their ambitions benefit them? And so the thing that I want to remind us of today is that if our life is built around the pursuit of possession, experience, and position, it will prove to be a shell that is empty. It will prove to be a shell that is empty. The Bible tells us that all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, possession, possession, position, and experience. The lust of the eyes is possession. The lust of the flesh is experience. And the pride of life is position. Those are empty promises that the God of this world holds out to us. And if our life is built around that, it will always end up in emptiness. As I said, these four groups all have things that would point them to Jesus. And you can ask me about that later if you don't know what that is. And so in this life, there are actually good things in buying a house, fixing a house, buying a vehicle, fixing it up, owning things. There are good things in that. Lots of things that are good. But if they are an end in themselves, they will always lead to disappointment. And what I want to remind us today is that if our life isn't built around Jesus, we're going to watch that promise of pleasure and fulfillment and wonderful taste collapse right in front of us. And we'll be left with air, with nothing. We have a promise in the Word of God that this world and its lusts are going to pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. And that's a wonderful promise. And so I just want to remind us that in all the things that get said all around us, the focus, the pursuits, the interests, the things that look interesting and entertaining and good to do, is Jesus at the center of all of that focus? Because if Jesus is not at the center of all of that focus, it's going to be an empty promise that doesn't fulfill. And it is only as we follow Jesus, that we can experience an enduring richness that will not end. So I want to encourage all of us today to think about that. Allow Jesus to be at the center of your focus. And if Jesus doesn't fit in there, probably should change your focus, get a different focus to where Jesus can fit into the center of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and beginning somewhere around verse 18 and following through on to the end, Paul talks about how God has chosen the weak and the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And the things of this world that seem so wise and so smart and so good, God says they are foolishness to the things of the kingdom. So let's allow God to be constantly teaching us. If we look at life, let's not be a donkey that thinks he's important, but let's be a donkey that's ready and willing to carry on the work of Jesus. Wherever he finds us, wherever we are, and at whatever time he comes and says, I need you, even if it's only for a few minutes, let's be ready to do the work of Jesus. And then let's have a true focus as well as we communicate with other people. Our job isn't to tell them how bad they are. Our job is to show them the love of Jesus. Yeah, we can point out where there is a wrong focus, but let's tell them about the source of true meaning for their lives. Brother Emmanuel, did you have something you wanted to say yet? All right. If not, let's stand together for prayer. We will have a prayer at this time, and then we can have a song. After the song, I think there's a fellowship meal today. I didn't get my Sundays mixed up, did I? Yeah, we'll have a prayer for the meal as well. Appreciate our visitors today, and you're all welcome to stay and take part in the meal as well. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have had to gather here today in your name and look into your word and just talk about a variety of different things. Thank you, God, for our visitors that could be here. God, I pray that you would be with those who are normally here but aren't because of sickness or maybe traveling. Pray that you would help us all to look to you and just allow Jesus to be at the center of our focus. And so if we are going about our day-to-day tasks, if we are working, building a house, or whatever we do, help us, God, to always remember to keep Jesus at the center of our focus. And so I thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of your spirit. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn from all the things that go on around us. Help us to have our hearts open to receive your input into our lives. Thank you, God, for the food that we're going to enjoy here in a little bit. I pray that you would bless it. Bless those who have worked to prepare it. Help us to be thankful and to use those material blessings for the working of your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Number 867.